Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
Nice to see you guys. Thanks for being here. Hope you're hanging in there, taking it one day at a time, leaning on God, trusting his goodness in your life. And I believe you're going to leave today with a lot of hope and encouragement. So I want to welcome you. I want to welcome each of our Central family locations. Big shout out as well to those who are joining us in our partnership with God Behind Bars in different prison facilities. Thank you guys for being with us today. We're so grateful for all of you, and I'm so grateful all of our Central locations are open for both live services as well as online, and we need the church. We need community right now, and so let me just say a word to those of you that if you're out and about, if you're going to restaurants, if you're hitting Home Depot, if you're going to different things, but you've yet to come back to church, you will have a tremendous, personal encounter if the first time you come back to church in a more live environment and you realize how much we need each other and how much we need God. You know, there is a lot of fear related to our physical health, and that's a serious thing. And we need to take that seriously. And we do at all of our locations. It's why we have masks and social distancing. But listen, there's also the spiritual health and the spiritual dynamic. And everything I'm reading is saying, the mental health challenges are on the rise. Alcoholism, addiction, domestic abuse, all of those things are on the rise. And we're going to talk about one of the kind of lies that gets in our mind in the midst of that struggle today. But just a word of encouragement. If you've been out and about, but you've yet to make it back to church, my challenge to you is get back to church and let God move and work in your life and help bolster up your spiritual strength as well in your life. I don't know if you've felt overwhelmed or not recently, but I had this moment where I was watching these YouTube DIY videos. And if you watch YouTube sort of DIY videos, they can kind of mess with your head because you can start thinking, I can do this. I can do anything. I can do it. I can fix it. I'm the guy. And so I've been, you know, having an issue with a radiator in one of our old cars. I'm like, I can replace a radiator. That's no problem. I watched the dude do it. In fact, I watched like 4 different YouTube videos, how to replace a radiator. This is easy. And the last guy I watched did it in 14 minutes and so many seconds. I watched the video, like how long it took him. It's gonna take me 15 minutes and then I can get back to watching the Dallas Cowboys lose. And so I'm like, all right, you know, here we go. So I buy the same radiator. It's going to go on the same car. I get it in there. I take the old radiator out, no problem. Just like the video, I am the guy. I should have been a mechanic. And then I, you know, set the radiator down. I'm going to take the fans off the old radiator. I've got to mount them now to the new radiator. And the first thing that happens is I break a bolt. I break this bolt in the new radiator that I shear it off, and it's a mounting bolt. Hello. Like, I gotta have that, and it's gone. But it's okay, because there's more DIY YouTube videos, right? So my next YouTube search is how to remove bolt and keep threading, you know, like, and so I get the video pulled up, you know where this is going, right? And well, you know, you gotta have this tool. It's an extractor tool, you know? So I'm like, okay, I gotta have this tool. So now I'm in the car. I'm going to the, you know, hardware store. I get the tool, the extractor tool, finally, after a long time finding this thing. And then I get back home, I'm like, all right, you know, I watch the video again. All I gotta do is like drill this in. It's gonna bring this kind of screw out. It's gonna reverse it out, this bolt out, and then, you know, I'll be good to go and I can continue on, except it didn't really work that way. It didn't really grab it. I'm like, well, I'll go up to the next size. You know, that's no problem there. And I go a little bit. I go up to the next size. I'm good in it now. You know, and I won't lie, there have been some tools that have been thrown around the room. I won't lie that the inner pastor in me was not really coming out in this moment. I'm about to take a hammer to the radiator. Anybody feel me here? I'm like, I got something for you. You're never going to work again. Anyway, by the end, I'm sitting there. I'm about 5 hours in to my 45-minute project, literally. My whole family's asleep in bed. I've lost my religion. I have no self-respect. I'm sitting there with the radiator. The bolt is now completely just, there's no threads. It's all just a big new hole I've drilled. And I'm looking at this thing, and I pull this little bolt head off that I broke. And I remember just looking at it, and I remember just thinking, I can't handle it. I'm not gonna be able to, I'm overwhelmed. I'm totally overwhelmed because of a bolt. And I think this is part of the coronavirus dynamic. Somebody said, you know, like, talk to me about the coronavirus this way. I said, the coronavirus is like the song that just does not end. You know, remember that song when you were a kid? You know, it's like, this is the song that will not end. Remember this? And it goes on and on, my friend. I don't even remember the rest. I just know it's very annoying. And I feel like the coronavirus is like the song that does not end, right? It just keeps going. And it can lead you to a place where you can be overwhelmed by the simplest things, right? A bolt, too many dishes in the sink, you know, like any simple thing in your family dynamic can kind of set you off. By the way, I did eventually get some rest, came back, prayed up, patient, kind, loving, gentle, went back to the radiator, got new threads in that radiator, got a bolt that fit, got the bolt in, and I had success. I was very tempted to call on some friends who are very good with cars, but I did not, and we got that thing done. So, small victories, friends, small victories. Glad I saved the $100 install on that from the auto mechanic. Anyway, I want to talk to you today about that lie that can take root in our heart and mind, that I won't be able to handle it. And sometimes it's just little things that can trigger that, or it can be big things, and we just think, I'm not gonna be able to handle it. And we let it take root in our heart, in our mind, we let it swirl around. Now here's the funny thing about this kind of lie, I won't be able to handle it. I actually think God agrees with you. You know, like he's not calling you to handle it on your own. And the point of life really may be for all of us to get to this point of saying, hey, if I'm gonna make it, I need greater help. I need greater guidance. I need a greater plan. I need someone who is greater than me to handle the things that feel like they're too much for me. When we hit that point, when we humble ourselves, what we find is not a God who is distant, but a God who is present, and more importantly, a God who is present to help. See, anxiety and that feeling of being overwhelmed is really an invitation to give God the things you cannot handle, to trust him with the things that threaten you, because listen, God never promised you a life that you could handle in your own strength. He promises to be with you no matter what you may need to handle. He promises to send his strength within the struggle. He promises to send you what you need in the moment that you need it. And so if you're facing huge things that feel like they're way too much for you, listen, they are not too much for the God who is for you. So I want to take a look with you today at this amazing story of the Bible, at somebody who was, I think, wrestling with some anxiety, who felt like they weren't strong enough or put together enough to be able to handle what God was calling them to do, and how God challenged them in that moment. I want to look with you today at the story of Moses. Now, Moses was an individual. First, he was like the prince of Egypt, he was, you know, this person who was raised in influence and authority and power, and then he got into a situation where, in a moment of rage, he killed this Egyptian slave master who was beating this Israelite slave, and he basically gets exiled. And so for 40 years, he's kind of out learning to be a shepherd, navigating life. And he gets to this place, he's not like this 40-year-old, handsome, you know, movie star kind of figure. Now he's like 80, and he's an older shepherd, and he sees this bush that doesn't burn. Now, bushes burning in the wilderness wouldn't be that big a deal, but this one just doesn't burn up. It just keeps burning. And so he goes over to the bush, and God basically tells him that he's been chosen to set the Israelite people free, who've been living in slavery under the Pharaoh. And it's interesting when you see, like, Moses becomes this incredible leader, this amazing man of God. We remember him. You read about him in the Bible. I mean, phenomenal, his impact and his influence. But look at how he responds to the call of God in the moment. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. When we get to the red words, let's just say them out loud together. But when God first tells Moses that he's been chosen for this, it says, but Moses protested to God, what? Who am I? You see that? Who am I? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Now, some of you, I don't know where you're at in your life, but a lot of times we have kind of a who am I moment. Who am I to go after this dream? Who am I to try and restore this relationship? Who am I to navigate online school? Who am I to face these challenges that I'm up against? And yet, here's God's response. God answered, I will be with you. I will be with you. In other words, God is challenging Moses, stop focusing on yourself and who you are or who you're not, and start focusing on me and my presence. Moses, it's not about you. It's about the fact that I will be with you. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody, you're making it about you. Right? You think your job situation is just about you. You think your lack of funds or your financial pressure is just about you. You think you're navigating the crazy in your house right now is just about you. And I think what God's reminding us today is that it's not about you and your limitations. It's about who is with you. And he is clearly promising, not only to Moses, but to us in our life, that he will be with you. So you may not be able to handle it, but he can handle it. He can handle it, and he can work with you in your life. So one of the first challenges, if you want to deal with that sense of being overwhelmed in your life, is to simply shift your focus. To shift your focus. Focus is so important. I don't know how you sleep. I know there are different ways of sleeping. Some people sleep on their backs. Some people sleep on their sides. Some people are stomach kind of sleepers. You know, like I'm a really restless sleeper. I'm all over the place. But I saw this little slide on Instagram. I thought it was pretty funny. Those of you that have kids or pets, you'll relate to this. But it was different sleeping positions that happen when somebody or something climbs into bed with you. This is called the capital H position. If you've ever been a parent, then you've navigated this, right? You understand this. And then let's go to the next one here. This is called the scarf position. Yeah, cats like this too. Cats are down with like the scarf position. They like that. But then this was the one I related to the most. This is the roundhouse position. And this is Ethan, man. His entire childhood, that kid would come in our bed and he would kick me. And they don't, look, little kids, man, they don't know. They don't just kick you in the face. They kick you in other places. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's brutal. Now, Lori sleeps like a vampire, y'all. I mean, I'm like restless. I spin around 500 times a night. I'm just like in place, just like a hamster on a wheel, you know, all night long, spinning, spinning, spinning. Lori never moves. And it's so freaky. She's started wearing glasses, which is kind of awesome because I've been wearing glasses since I was 17. So I'm like, yeah, welcome to the family. You know, anyway, so she's finally like crossed over, right, to glasses. She's getting younger every day, But she not only wears them, y'all, she sleeps in them. Like, she puts the glasses on and she'll read and fall asleep. And because she sleeps like a vampire on her back, I'm talking all eight straight, and then it's like, good morning. Seriously, I'm a disaster at night. Like, I can't ever remember my dreams, and that's a God thing. You know what I'm saying? Because whatever's going on up there is crazy town. But Lori's just like, chill, no problem, never. I mean, it just kind of opens her eyes. And so she just leaves her glasses on now so that she said, that way when I wake up, if I need to read or whatever, you know, like I can focus. I don't have to look for my glasses. They're just on my face. And I'm just saying, like, focus is a big deal. What you focus on has a huge impact in your, and I wake up and all I see is blur, right? Like, I can't see anything. Lori wakes up, she's got that clear focus. God is about to teach Moses about the power of focus and what it looks like in his life. And so check this out. When it comes to anxiety, I think what we often engage in is what we might call self-focus. You know, we're looking at ourselves, at what we lack. We're looking at our relationship and how frustrating it is. We're looking at our work situation. We're looking at our business plan. We're looking at our retirement numbers, whatever. And you're focused on yourself and it feels absolutely overwhelming. But God is challenging us through this story that the recipe for courage is to shift that focus from a self-focus to a God focus, from a self-focus to a God focus. And what I think is fascinating is in the midst of this encounter that Moses has with God, God is going to basically call him out to remember who he is and to shift his focus to God. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, they're having this go back and forth, Moses and God. And Moses says, all right, so if I'm to go and if I'm to lead these people, like you've said, who am I supposed to say, like to the Pharaoh, who do I say sent me? Like, who are you? This is the voice at a burning bush, you know, like who are you? Who's sending me? And I love how God doesn't really clear anything up. But Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, it says, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Now, just think about that for a moment. You're like, so what's your name? Like, who do I say? I am who I am. Okay. Say this to the people of Israel. What? I am has sent me to you. I'm not sure that cleared a lot of things up. But here's what's amazing about this. Hebrew scholars will tell you, and this the Old Testament was originally written in the Hebrew language, the New Testament in the Greek language. The Old Testament, Hebrew scholars will tell you, this is a really hard phrase to translate. It could be translated like, I am who I am. It could also be translated, I will be who I will be. You know, in other words, I think part of what God is saying with his name to Moses and to us is, listen, Mo. You don't understand. You cannot put me in a box. You can't define me. You can't feel like you've got me all figured out. I was from the very beginning, and I will be at the very end. And the closest I can approximate to your very small brain is this. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. And listen, if God is I am, Moses and us, here's what that implies. We're not. Right? If God is the I am, then I'm the I am not, right? God's in charge, I'm not. God's in control, I'm not. God has been from the beginning, I'm not me. God will be here at the end, right? Like, God is all powerful, mighty, strong, incredible, good, patient, kind, all the things that I don't have enough of, God is. And God's saying to Moses, like, look, Moses, stop looking at yourself. All you need to know is this, I'll be with you. Well, who are you? I am who I am. And that focus can shift your perspective. That focus can shift your attitude. You shift your attitude, you can shift your life. So the first challenge is to shift your focus. When you feel like I can't handle it, just acknowledge I can't handle it on my own, but I am is with me. I am is beside me. I am's presence goes with me. And let that fill you with courage. Here's another thought, and that is to listen to what God says. Listen to what God says in your life. So this past week was Lori's birthday. She's amazing, looks amazing for 21. Incredible. And so I got up on her birthday, and you guys know how this is, right? You wake up, and like, so for me, I grew up, birthdays weren't that big of a deal. So when it's my birthday, I'm like, oh yeah, it's my birthday, that's cool. You know, but not so much with Lori, right? It's a big deal. Like, it could go all month, you know? Like, I gotta plan. I gotta be ready, right? So I wake up, and I gotta go run some errands. So I'm out running errands, and it's like Lori's birthday. I've let her sleep in a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get her a breakfast sandwich. And it's her birthday, and we live large in the Will Hyatt family. So I'm like, do I get the McDonald's or Starbucks? What do you think she wants, McDonald's or Starbucks? So I saw that she had interacted to a post on social media, so I knew she was awake, right? I'm like, hey, I could, you know, I know you're up. Like, you know, it's your birthday, happy birthday. I'll get you a Starbucks sandwich, you know, or McDonald's. What would you prefer? She's like, I said, I'm right by Starbucks. She said, yeah, Starbucks would be great. I said, great. So I get in the drive-thru line at Starbucks, and she calls me back, which I knew meant like she'd been thinking about it. And that McDonald's, I know it's McDonald's, y'all, but that McDonald's have been sounding pretty good, you know? So I said, I'm already in the line. She's like, no problem. That'll be great. But I kind of knew what that meant. So I went ahead and went through. I got her a drink. I got her a Starbucks breakfast sandwich. And then I went the extra mile. I went to McDonald's. And I got the sausage biscuit from McDonald's, okay? So I got both. And I had this thought. I had this thought with both of them in my lap. I'm like, I should post this to social media. I'm killing the birthday game right now. Like, I'm already out, and I got her not only this sandwich, but I also got her this sandwich. This is what everybody should see. This is how everybody should perceive me as a husband. Now, what I didn't want to post was that I was out to begin with because it was her birthday, and I still didn't have everything I needed to wrap her present, which didn't arrive because I ordered it too late, and I was going to be wrapping a print off of what her present would be and putting that in a box with stuff that I just bought so that I could get it wrapped so I had it all together to give. Now, I'm not posting that, but I should be posting this, right? And I actually thought about that for a minute and thought, you know what, that's disingenuous. I'm not going to do that. But here's the thing. We're all influenced by what other people think, aren't we? We all have a kind of a way we want people to perceive us. And sometimes that can have a really devastating effect on how we live our lives. That's where Moses is in this moment. Look at this, Exodus chapter 4. He's going to argue with God four different times, but now he comes back and he protests. But this time he protests not just on what, who he is, but he protests based on what other people may think, how they may perceive the situation. Moses protested again. What if, help me, they won't believe me and listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? And then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground. You're like, what? What's going on? Well, first, Moses is kind of like having this moment with God, sort of going back and forth because the focus kind of shifts here. You know, the focus shifts from who am I to what if they? Like, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen? What if they think I'm crazy? What if they shoot me down? What if they shout me down? They run me out of town? Because that's what happened the last time, God, I tried to be a rescuer. I was rejected. I was vilified. I was exiled. I lost everything I had. And so, you know, it's normal to care about what other people think. But often the people who are the most effective at leading, they're often people who are very good at listening and sympathizing with other people. But here's the danger. When you start to care more about what other people think than what God says, then you start to slip into this whole realm of people pleasing. And people pleasing is when you let the wishes of others override the will of God in your life. It's when you let the complaints of others cancel out the calling of God in your life. It's when you let the approval of those around you override the will of God who is above you. And so it kind of leads us to this second ingredient in the recipe of anxiety and just feeling like I can't handle it. Not only is there self-focus, but there's just kind of this pull to please people. And we've got to shift that if we want courage from just pleasing people to pleasing God. And really focus on pleasing God and anchoring into what it means to please God. In fact, there's this age-old problem, and you see it even if you go back to the Greek philosophers. They were wary of public opinion. In fact, Socrates said that having popularity and approval in your life is sort of like having a big monster as a pet that lives at home with you. And the monster is always hungry. If you don't feed it, that monster will turn on you and eat you. So pretty soon, your values start to shift. Everything that keeps the monster from eating you is good. You care less about what's right and wrong, good, bad, purposeful, or purposeless, and you put all your efforts on feeding the beast. That's what it's like when you live for the approval of others. Eventually, you have to compromise every conviction that you have. You basically leave your values in the dust, your self-respect in the dust. You even abandon your identity just to keep others from rejecting you. And don't miss this. Moses is willing to reject God's call in his life, a call that will literally make him a hero of the Old Testament because he's worried about what others will think. But listen, it's better to be disliked for who you are in God than to be loved for who you're not. So he says to Moses, what's that in your hand? He says, a shepherd's staff. He says, throw it down. Moses throws it down. The staff becomes a snake. And then God tells Moses, pick it up. So he picks the snake up, which I'm like, dude, I'm not picking that snake up. But Moses picks the snake up. He's a shepherd. He's lived in the wilderness. He ain't afraid. And immediately becomes a staff again. From then on, the staff is called the staff of the Lord. And God will do many miracles through Moses with that staff. But what's fascinating is the staff represented for Moses his identity, his source of income. It was who he was. And God says to him, take that thing that represents who you are, your identity, your job, your work, your source of income, like that identifies you, and throw it down before me. Throw it down and take up my identity that I'm giving you. And once Moses took up that rod again, that staff again, everywhere he went, it was a reminder to him that God's presence was with him, that it wasn't just about him anymore, that it was about God going before him, God walking with him, God moving through him, that he wasn't alone. He may not know how to handle it. He was going to have to lead 1 to 3 million Israelites. That's a big job, y'all. That's a lot of staff, right? Volunteer or not, that is a big, massive undertaking. He couldn't handle it, but God could handle it, and God was calling him to it. He had to look at that staff and remember. I don't know about you in your life, but I know a lot of us, we grew up being called a lot of different things, a loser, unworthy. Maybe we carry a lot of these kind of identity labels in our lives, and I think God is telling us today, look, you got to throw that down. You got to let go of that. When you start to feel like, look, I'm not going to be able to handle it. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough ability or talent or skill. You got to lay that down, and you got to take up the new identity that God says you have. You got to listen to what God says and let that sink into your heart. And here's what the Bible says about who you are. I just did a flyover of the Bible and listed out all the things that God says about you as a follower of Jesus. He says that you are my follower, my child. You are a child of God. You are a child of light. You are a member of God's family. You are holy and blameless, standing before him without a single fault. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're a branch that bears fruit. You're a living stone in his temple. You are a holy priest. You are a member of a holy nation created to show the goodness of God. You're a chosen. You're a chosen one. He's like, who, me? Yeah, you. You're a chosen one. You're God's worker. You're Christ's ambassador. You're a true minister of God united with Christ. You're a part of his body, and you are made alive by his spirit. You are God's masterpiece. You're a faithful one made for better things. You are destined to receive a kingdom that is unshakable. You are an inheritor of the new heavens and the new earth. You're one who is made right with God. You are a citizen of heaven. You are no longer a part of this world. You are equal as brothers and sisters and heirs of God's glory. You are set free from the slavery of sin. You are truly free. That's who God says you are. So you got to throw down what others think about who you are. You got to let go of what others think about who you are and be more concerned about taking hold of who God says you are. And when that anxiety stirs up, use your anxiety as an invitation to give God the things that you cannot handle. Shift your focus. Listen to what God says. And here's a final thought. Believe help is on the way. Believe help is on the way. Four different times Moses argues with God in Exodus 3 and 4. Four different times he's like, I can't do it. Don't do it. I'm not the guy. What will they think? I'm not gifted. He says to God, I'm not a good speaker. Like, he's going down the whole list, right? Exodus chapter 4, but verse 13, he finally just cuts to the chance. Cuts to the chase. Look at this. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. You got to love this, right? Like, Moses is like, seriously, God, like, all right, enough of this. just send anyone else. I don't care who it is. All right, he said. Well, notice this. It says, then the Lord became angry with Moses. Fascinating. This is Exodus chapter 4, second book of the Bible. The flood's already happened. The fall has happened, you theologians out there. But if you go back and look at those sections, this is the first time in the Hebrew Bible it says God was angry. He judged the world, but it doesn't say he was angry. But now, the fourth time that Moses and God are going back and forth, God's had enough. God's getting angry. And it says he's angry with Moses. Why? I think part of why God's angry with Moses is because Moses refused to believe that God's presence would make any difference. Now, I'm talking to somebody today. We're in the midst of the corona crazy. It's been an insane run, and it's still going, and there's a lot of things coming at us. But let's not make the same mistake where we start to live our lives as if God's presence makes no difference in our lives today. That's where Moses was. And it stirred up the anger of God. He's like, dude, I told you, I am, right? And I am with you. And that's really what you need to know. He says, all right, God said. Now, he doesn't discipline Moses in this moment. He actually says this. What about your brother? He says, send anybody else. What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is what? Check this out. On his way. He probably hasn't seen his brother in decades. He's already on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. So here's Moses. Send anybody else. And so he's like, all right, I'll send your brother. And your brother's going to come along, and he's going to help you. Help is already on the way. Somebody needs to hear this today. Look, because you're facing, you know, your past, your hurts, your tension, your inadequacies. We could go back to this slide that sort of breaks it down. A lot of times what sort of feeds our anxiety is not just self-focus and people-pleasing, but also our hurts. And what can give us courage is not only having a God focus and being focused on pleasing God, but also realizing God's help is already on the way. He's already moving and working. Somebody today, you say, I'm anxious about the mental health of somebody that I love, but God's help is already on the way. Look, some of you say, I'm anxious about the future of my kids. God's help is already on the way. I'm anxious about making ends meet. God's help is already on the way. I'm anxious about all the divisiveness in our country or in my family. God's help is already on the way. I'm anxious about the things that I need to do for work or for school. God's help's already on the way. And God says to him, he's angry with Moses, but he doesn't punish him. He says, look, I'm going to help you, man. And help is already on the way. Your brother Aaron is coming. So if you're like, I'm anxious about being able to handle a health issue in my life or in the life of somebody I love, God's help's on the way. I'm anxious about retirement. God's help's on the way. Listen, if it makes you anxious, it invites God's action, and his help is already on the way. God is already working on the thing that has you worried. So today, if you're feeling like I'm not going to be able to handle it, just shift your focus from yourself to God. Just shift that perspective. Shift your focus from worrying too much about other people and pleasing other people to what God says and who God says you are, and then believe that his help is on the way. Listen, God's name says it all. I am. I am. You say, I'm just not strong enough. God says, I am your strength. You say, I'm just not, I just can't see how it's all going to work out. God says, I am preparing your future. You say, I can't seem to get any traction or to make any progress. God says, I am moving and I am working. You say, I can't control the outcomes. God says, I'm working all things together for your good. You say, I have no idea how it's going to work out. God says, I am making all things new. You say, I just don't know if I'll ever be able to handle what comes. God says, look, I am with you always. You say, I can't see a way that gets better. God says, I am your guide. You say, I can't guarantee that we'll have what we need in the future. God says, I am your security. You say, I'm scared for my health and for my life. God says, I am the resurrection and the life. You say, I'm just so unsettled by everything I see going on in our country. God says, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I am sovereign. I'm in control. I'm still saving people. I'm still blessing people. I'm still seeing my plans through. I'm still for you and I'm still with you. I'm the one who was and is to come. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. And And so I'm preaching to myself today. I'm preaching to myself as I hope I'm preaching to you. Some of us all, including me, we just need to step back and remember, God is the great I am, and I'm not. I'm not in control. I'm not alone. I'm not enough, but I don't have to be because I am is with me. And that anxiety is an invitation to give God the things that you cannot handle. So how do you move on when anxiety shuts you down, when you think I won't be able to handle it? Shift your focus from yourself to God. Don't say, who am I? But instead take confidence in the great I am. Listen to what God says over what others think and work on pleasing him in your life and believe that help is on the way. God is already working on that thing that has you worried. You say, I won't be able to handle it. Hey, that's okay. You were never meant to. Anxiety is your invitation to give God the things you can't handle. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never crossed that line of faith. And if that's where you're at, I'd love to give you an opportunity just to come and place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, to ask him to move and work in your life. The Bible says if you place your faith and trust in Jesus, that you'll receive the gift of eternal life, that God's Spirit comes to dwell within you, that you'll be forgiven for your past sins and mistakes, that the rest of your life you can know you are never alone, and that you can walk with a sense of confidence. The Bible also says that God will start moving and working in your life to fill you with new life. The Bible calls it a second birth, a new beginning that you can experience simply by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. So if you'd like to accept him into your life today, if you'd like to cross that line of faith, I'd love to give you that opportunity. And so I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you'd like to become a follower of Jesus, you can begin that journey by repeating a simple prayer after me, either out loud or in your own heart and mind. Just say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand in the air, just to say before God, you're going to follow him in your life. You're going to trust him. Just slip your hand in the air and reach out to him today. God, I thank you for each person reaching out to you, and I pray you'll fill them with your goodness, your peace, your love, your joy. We thank you for the opportunity to know you and to walk with you and to experience you in our lives. Pray you fill every person here today with your hope. For those reaching out to you, give them a new beginning, new life, forgiveness, and a new start. And show them how good you really are. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.